Reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, Three Modes of Material Nature, text number 17. Sattvat sanjayate jnanam. Sattvat sanjayate jnanam. Rajaso lobhaiva cha. Rajaso lobhaiva cha. Pramada moha tamaso. Pramada moha tamaso. Bhavato jnanam eva cha. Bhavato jnanam eva cha. Sattvat sanjayate jnanam. Rajaso lobhaiva cha. Pramada moha tamaso. Bhavato jnanam eva cha. Sanjayate jnanam. Pramada moha tamaso. Pramada moha tamaso. Yatsanjayate jnanam. Rajaso lobhaiva cha. Pramada moha tamaso. Bhavato jnanam eva cha. Sattvat sanjayate jnanam. Rajaso lobhaiva cha. Pramada moha tamaso. Bhavato jnanam eva cha. Ladies. Sattvat sanjayate jnanam. Rajaso lobhaiva cha. Pramada moha tamaso. Bhavato jnanam eva cha. Sattvat, from the mode of goodness, sanjayate, develops, jnanam, knowledge. Rajasa, from the mode of passion. Lobha, greed. Eva, certainly. Cha, also. Pramada, madness. Moha, and illusion. Tamasa, from the mode of ignorance. Bhavataha, develop. Agyanam, nonsense. Eva, certainly. Cha, also. Translation, from the mode of goodness, real knowledge develops. And from the mode of passion, greed develops. And from the mode of ignorance, develop foolishness, madness, and illusion. Report. Since the present civilization is not very congenial to the living entities, you know congenial? You know this word? Friendly. Present civilization is not very friendly to the living entities. Krishna consciousness is recommended. Through Krishna conscious society will develop the mode of goodness. When goodness is developed, people will see things as they are. In the mode of ignorance, people are just like animals and cannot see things clearly. In the mode of ignorance, for example, they do not see that by killing one animal, they are taking chance of being killed by the same animal in the next life. Because people have no education in actual knowledge, they become irresponsible. To stop this irresponsibility, education for developing the mode of goodness of the people in general must be there. When they are actually educated in the mode of goodness, they will become sober, in full knowledge of things as they are. Then people will be happy and prosperous. Even if the majority of people are not happy and prosperous, if a certain percentage of the population develops Krishna consciousness and becomes situated in the mode of goodness, then there is a possibility for peace and prosperity all over the world. Otherwise, if the world is devoted to the modes of passion and ignorance, there can be no peace or prosperity. In the mode of passion, people become greedy, and their hankering for sense enjoyment has no limit. One can see that even if one has enough money and adequate arrangements for sense gratification, there is neither happiness nor peace of mind. That is not possible. Because one is situated in the mode of passion, if one wants happiness at all, his money will not help him. He has to elevate himself to the mode of goodness by practicing Krishna consciousness. When one is engaged in the mode of passion, not only is he mentally unhappy, but his profession and occupation are also very troublesome. He has to devise so many plans and schemes to acquire enough money to maintain his status quo. This is all miserable. In the mode of ignorance, people become mad. Being distressed by their circumstances, they take shelter of intoxication, and thus they sink further and further into ignorance. The future of their life is very dark. Om aganata mananda shaganansana shalakaya chakshin militamina tasman shigurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Ina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dharati Svabhadantikam. The present civilization is not very friendly to the living entities. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is recommended. And through the Krishna conscious society, we'll develop the mode of goodness. So that's our task. Prabhupada has given this society the task of showing people the way to Sattva-gun so that people can become happy. In the present day, people no longer know how to be happy. Very unfortunate. Well, actually, it's not exactly correct, because there's different kinds of happiness. There's happiness in Sattva-gun, happiness in Raja-gun, and happiness in Tamagun. But the happiness of Rajagun and happiness of Tamagun cannot really be called happiness, because they have no lasting effect. The happiness of Rajagun is when you go shopping and you get some more stuff. But it doesn't last very long, and therefore you have to go shopping again and again and again, like that. The happiness of tamagun is misery, actually, from intoxication of some kind, resulting in further degradation, stupid decisions, stupid acts, things that people regret later on. So that can't be counted as real happiness either. But sattvagun brings some sort of peacefulness and lasting happiness. So modern civilization is simply enamored by the lower modes, by rajas and tamas, passion and ignorance, and thus people are chasing a mirage in the desert. Just like if you're in the desert, you're so thirsty, and you see a mirage, oh, there's water, so you go running for it, but you never get it. So this is modern civilization. They're chasing a mirage of sense gratification and consumerism, and they'll never find happiness that way. Instead, they find more and more suffering. And so this verse says that greed develops from Rajagun, but also grief develops from Rajagun. So the poor unfortunate people, they're being misled by the powers of being. Some people simply want to exploit them, take their money, give them some trinket, and then they think they're happy. I went yesterday to buy some shoes. Went in the mall. Very amazing place, these shopping malls. And in the shoe store, I mean, it used to be shoes were just something to cover your feet, right? And they should look nice. Oh my God. They had so many unlimited kinds of shoes in there. It was just unbelievable. I guess now the fashion is to have sparkly shoes. So Upananda's daughter was with us, and immediately she was attracted to these shoes with sparkles on them. And she wanted these sparkly shoes. They cost 400 of their currency, which would be about $70 or something like that. This is for about an 8 or 10 year old child who is growing quickly. So, yeah, they'll outgrow them, you know, within a few months, and then, you know, mom and dad have to shell out another 400 for another pair of fashion shoes. In any case, you know, you think, oh, I've got these nice shoes on my feet. Now I'm the envy of everybody. Well, people are going to look at me. I'll get attention. And oh, you've got those cool shoes. Wow, you're cool. But it doesn't work that way, actually. There was a lady who lived in Ladakh. Ladakh is north of north part of Pakistan. And she went there in the 1960s as an anthropologist to study the place. At that time, they were a closed society. But she convinced them to let her inside their country. And they were giving her a tour of the place, showing her everywhere how people lived and so on. And she said, well, show me where the poor people live. And they looked at her with a puzzled look like, poor people? What's that? We don't have any of those. There was no poor people. There was no conception of poverty even at that time. By Western standards, they were poor. They were all poor in terms that they didn't have sparkly shoes or blue jeans or something like that. But by their own standards, there was no such thing as poverty. Everybody had clothes. Everybody had food. Everybody had what they needed to live a decent life. So they were living in Sattvagun, and they were satisfied, and they were happy. They were happy people. There was nobody who was homeless there. There was no, like I said, no poverty. And even though they had a very austere life, because it's a very high elevation, that country, in cold climate, even though they had a very austere life, because they were in Sattvagun, they were happy. And this is the characteristic of most of the civilizations around the world before the onslaught of Western so-called culture. So this woman, her name is Helena Norberg Hodge, she wrote a book called, she made a movie, a video called Economics of Happiness. If you get a chance to see it, it'll tell the whole story about how she went there. And later what happened was they started allowing Westerners to come in the country. And a Western tourist would bring a lot of money with them. And they would spend more money in a day than the Ladakhis would earn in an entire year. So by comparison now to these Westerners, they started to feel, well, I'm poor. They've got so much money, and I don't have money, so I'm poor. And the whole culture changed because they shifted to Rajagun, and They run from being happy and satisfied to being dissatisfied and unhappy. And this is the situation everywhere around the world. And people have to somehow pacify themselves with liquor, intoxication of some kind, or drugs or something, so that they can simply continue or cope in modern society. So it's very important to understand the nature of these gunas, because they explain actually how the world works. People today, not understanding how the world works, they do things in their against their own interest. Prabhupada writes that people are just like animals and cannot see things clearly. In the mode of ignorance, they do not see that they are killing an animal and taking the chance of being killed in the next life by the same animal. Because they have no education and actual knowledge, they become irresponsible. So this is the unfortunate situation of people in the world. They don't know what to do, what not to do. So there's a lot of information. The 14th chapter actually just introduces the gunas. And there's a lot more explaining the gunas in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna goes into specifics about different aspects of the gunas. And then there's further information in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam about the gunas. And I'll read to you a little bit about from there about the mode of goodness. Mind and sense control, tolerance, discrimination, sticking to one's prescribed duty, truthfulness, mercy, careful study of the past and future, satisfaction in any condition, generosity, renunciation of sense gratification, faith in the spiritual master, becoming embarrassed by improper action, charity, simplicity, humbleness, and satisfaction within oneself, detachment from the general mind, detachment from the material mind and of the senses from matter. These are all qualities of sattva, goodness. So one can look at their own character, at their own self, and see if these things are developing. And if not, you know, then one can understand or ascertain what their situation is. More about the mode of passion. Material desire, great endeavor, audacity, dissatisfaction even with gain, false pride, praying for material advancement, the distortion of intelligence due to too much activity. Can you keep up? Okay, I'm going to go a little slower. The inability to disentangle the perceiving senses from material objects. An unsteady perplexity of the mind. Considering oneself different and better than others. Sense gratification. Eagerness to fight. A liking to hear oneself praised. The tendency to criticize others. Promoting one's own ability and justifying one's actions by one's strength. These are qualities of the modes of passion. And then in ignorance, intolerant anger, stinginess, speaking on the basis of false pride, without scriptural authority, violent hatred, living as a parasite, being a hypocrite, chronic lethargy or laziness, quarrel, arguments, lamentation, delusion or illusion, unhappiness, depression, false expectation, fear, laziness, and sleeping too much, failure to attain or the disappearance of understanding the higher self. Okay, that means failure to understand that we are spiritual beings. And it also says disappearance of. So even though one may have that idea, they may lose it if they cultivate tamagun. And then finally, the inability to concentrate one's attention. These are the major qualities of tamagun. So by studying these, one can then understand this world in a much better way. So I made a very, in the second chapter of my book, is all about the gunas, because the whole book actually is about the gunas. It's about economics in the gunas. So in the second chapter, I introduce the gunas in a pretty complete way. So it's a good resource for studying about the modes of nature. So people today, they think that they can behave any way they want and they can be happy. They don't stop to think about their behavior, what they're doing, and the kind of result or the kind of consciousness they develop. But there's consequences to actions, and if we behave in ways that are in rajagun or tamagun, then we cannot be happy. It's very, very simple. So we should show people how to be happy. Every Hare Krishna devotee should be a walking advertisement of happiness. Huh? But I hear sometimes that that's not true. Yeah? That's unfortunate. The devotees should be happy. I don't understand. There was one devotee who travels around a lot. Some of you may know him. I don't know if he comes here. Uttama Shloka, disciple of Indradyumna Swami. He just took sannyas this year. Anyway, he wrote a thing a couple of years ago based on his travels around, observing that the devotees are not happy. That was his observation. And it was of course, unfortunate, but also shocking to me to hear that report. So why would devotees be unhappy? I don't understand. Maybe if you know, you can help. But devotees should, by the cultivation of sattva-gun, become very happy. My only guess is why they're not happy is because they're trying to live in two cultures. Because we don't have an economic alternative. The devotees, mostly, they have to live in the dominant culture. And living in the dominant culture, they become unhappy like the other people living in the dominant culture. That's my guess. I don't know. But at least the devotees who live in the temple, they should be a walking advertisement for the happiness of sattva-gun. Always being blissful, especially on Harinam. Everybody should be very blissful. So that when people see the Harinam party, they say, I want what they have. This is actually our best advertising, you know. In 1984, myself and one godbrother, we did a public opinion survey. What do people think about the Hare Krishna movement? And the most favorable impression that we made on the public was from Harinam Sankirtan. They liked that the best. Even though they didn't understand it, it gave a very favorable impression of the devotees. Okay, we'll stop there for discussion. Could I have some more? Questions? Who's happy? All the hands should go up. Yeah.
Well, I'm not happy. I heard what you mentioned from the scripture. It said the careful study of history and future. That what and future is kind of confusing to my mind. How can one study the future? I mean, yeah, I thought maybe like a planning for the future is that what it was.
Yeah, it's interesting. Let me look at that again. That didn't occur to me when I heard that.
Maybe I heard it wrong.
No, you heard it right. Thank you. Yeah, let me find it. Careful study of the past and future. I don't know. Very, very interesting. How you can study the future.
Maybe there is some saying in the
Trikalagya. Well, not everybody is Trikalagya. Maybe. Yeah. Could be like that. I mean, that's, you know, that's the most logical answer. I don't know how else you can study it. Huh?
How long did we, like, take a look at what's going on right now and what are the possible outcomes in the future? What?
Okay. That's good. That's good also. In other words, understanding the result of actions and what they're going to lead to. And then acting. Oh yeah, yeah. That's very good. Yeah. That you don't act impetuously, or, you know, spontaneously, but you think about what are the results that are going to happen in the future if I do this, if I don't do that. I think you have the best answer. One that I like is being embarrassed by improper action. Many people, if they do something wrong, they're not embarrassed. This is a symptom of arrogance or tamagun. But a person who's in sattvagun, if they do something wrong, they're ashamed.
About, how to say it, if you do something wrong, then you are, how to say, guilty or accused. So what you feel is conscience is burning, and conscience.
Mm-hmm. Conscience
is burning, and so I said it's kind of suffering, it's kind of self-punishment. So he said no, it's just admittance that you did something wrong, and you don't suffer when your conscience is kind of burning you. But in my case, it is very strong. I feel like I suffer when I do wrong, or maybe it's my mind or ego suffering. But when I do something wrong, I really am hard on myself.
Well, if we do something wrong, we should atone for it or compensate. We should try to correct it like that. And maybe if you're not doing that, that's why you're burning. The conscience, of course, is the super soul who reminds us, tells us, he gives us guidance. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. And then if we're, have some sattva, then we are embarrassed or we feel bad, for having done that.
That's what he said when he comes with me on the Sunday feast down in the street of Croatia. Then he said he feels guilt inside him, like he's not doing good, like he's a sinner, and that's why he told me he doesn't want to come anymore, because he said, it's not mine, it doesn't have anything to do with me, it's somebody else's, it comes in subtly in my heart, or I don't know, I feel like I'm being accused of something, I do bad.
Is somebody saying something like that to him?
He just comes in, conscience starts to work. He's just feeling like he's a sinner, he's doing something bad. Hmm? And I see he has some addictions about tobacco, marijuana. But when I told him, yeah, it is your team inside you need to work on, he said, no, it's just other people's auras affecting
him. He's in a very dangerous position. In the book, I also write about the demonic consciousness. And some people that write about this, and they write that there's some people who were falling into evil. They're going towards evil. Yeah, to bad, to away from God. And they don't like to think of themselves as bad people. Right? So even though if they're doing something wrong, they won't acknowledge it because they want to think of themselves as good. I'm good. And therefore, if their consciousness comes up and tells them you're doing something wrong, they ignore that. Oh no, I don't want to hear about that. I'm okay. Yeah.
I just have a thought.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing this, going away from ourselves, from our consciousness, because we don't know how to deal with it. What to do with all this information? And that's the major problem, that's the major issue of unhappiness that you see.
What to do with what information?
That something is wrong.
Ah.
Our super soul told us something is wrong. Something's not right. But we are too ashamed to tell anyone, to look for help, and we cannot deal with it ourselves.
Well, those are symptoms of tamagun. If I don't want to look for help, this means tamagun.
Because we are too ashamed.
Well, we may think of it like that, or even if one doesn't have to confess, you know, in a public way, to seek help. The conscience is there to guide us what to do, what not to do. If we listen, then we don't do that again. Okay? If we don't want to hear that, we sweep that under the rug of our consciousness, how can super soul act? He keeps telling us, but then we're not going to pay attention to that because we don't want to, you know, we don't want to deal with it. I think it's to say that they don't know how to deal with it is I don't know. Can it be correct? Well, I don't know how to deal with it. Well, you have to do something, you know, rather than doing nothing, especially if it repeats. If we experience that again, I don't know. Difficult for me to understand that consciousness. Is that you're posing that as a rhetorical question, I guess. So the person should look for help. They should try to understand, okay, why is that wrong? Of course, you know, for many people, they don't have good spiritual guidance. I mean, where are they going to get good spiritual guidance in the world today? Practically speaking, even in the churches, they can't find it there. So it's a very unfortunate situation. Of course, one can pray to God for guidance, and if one is sincere, they will get help. It can come from any number of different ways, you know. The super soul, he doesn't desert people. He's there to help every step of the way. All of life is a opportunity for learning if we will. But if we refuse to, what can be done?
Thank you.
So if becoming embarrassed when doing something wrong is sati, what about being afraid of doing something wrong?
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, that's much better.
That's sati too.
Afraid before you did
it,
or after?
Before.
I'm afraid to ask a question because I don't know how it's gonna.
That's a little different than being afraid of doing sinful activity. That's what I thought you were talking about.
This is a little thing connected with shame, maybe.
Well, people have all kind of fears, you know. If you're talking about being afraid to ask a question because of what the answer might be, that's one kind of fear. But there's so many different kinds of fears people can have. If you're talking about being afraid of doing some sinful activity before you do it, that's a very good thing. That's desirable. Other kinds of fears you have to deal with by facing the fear. That's the only way to deal with fear. You have to stand up to it. You have to deal with it. Then you find out there's nothing to be afraid of. So it's called courage. You have to develop a little courage. So. Is that okay? I don't know if I answered your question.
Then if we have fear of doing something, then it's good to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, you do it. But fear means you don't know what the future is, right? I'm afraid of the future. It may be something that I don't want. Well, the only way to deal with that is to find out what that future is. And in many cases, people will find out that the fear has no real basis. It's just in their mind. But unless you do that, unless you do it, then you stay in fear. You can never go past it.
So it's better to make a mistake? Right?
Yeah. Better to make a mistake. Then you can learn. Sure.
Better sometimes make a mistake 7 times, so you're sure it doesn't matter.
Is what's that saying? Something like, I should learn from my mistakes, so I'm going to make the same mistake again so that I get a good lesson. Something like that. Something more? Very well then. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you.